solstice dark, listening dark, mysterious dark. The stag stamping in the field, the owl over the wood, orange and cloves, the moving hymn of wind in the pine trees. It is the moment of standing still, and we do not know how the future will unfold. We do not know what comes out of the solstice dark, out of this time of wind and unseeable change. We do know that now we look for the light. We turn ourselves toward sunrise and keep on, no matter the wind or the snow or the sorrow. We keep turning toward the light. The chalice lighting this morning is in two, maybe three languages. She's speaking.
She's our third language.
She'll be the third language.
She'll be the third language.
It's its own language. I'm going to switch sides, see if the microphone will be happier over here. I think it will. A child journeys far from home, fearful and brave, in need of safe harbor. Guided by our chalice, may we seek to understand the causes of flight, like the comfort of a candle flickering in a window of darkness. Let us welcome this child into our home with warmth, nourishment, and love. Would we not want the same for our own child, lost and alone in a strange land?
Un niño viaja lejos de su casa, temeroso y valiente, careciendo de un puerto de asilo. Guiándonos por este cáliz, tratemos de comprender las causas de huir, como el consuelo de una vela encendida en una ventana oscura. Demos bienvenida a este niño, a nuestra casa con simpatía, alimento y cariño. ¿No quisiéramos lo mismo por nuestro propio niño, perdido en solo en una tierra extranjera?
I invite you to speak the words of our covenant, these words of how we will greet and welcome the world. Love
is the doctrine of this church. Christ for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humanity in fellowship, to respect the nurturing power within all of us to be covenant.
I invite you to join in singing hymn 352, Find a Stillness. This solstice time, this darkest time of the year that we also celebrate, is complicated because there are joy and sorrow in every breath. So the story that I will tell for most of today is the story of that, of how we live with that, with each other. And also there is Mary Oliver. Heavy. That time I thought I could not go any closer to grief without dying. I went closer, and I did not die. Surely God had his hand in this, as well as friends. Still I was bent, and my laughter, as the poet said, was nowhere to be found. Then, said my friend Daniel, brave even among lions, it's not the weight you carry, but how you carry it. Books, bricks, grief, it's all in the way you embrace it, balance it. carry it when you cannot and would not put it down. So I've been practicing. Have you noticed? Have you heard the laughter that comes now and again out of my startled mouth? How I linger to admire the things of the world. The things of this world that are kind and maybe also troubled. Roses in the wind. Sea geese on the steep waves. A love to which there is no reply. A story to tell, and you've heard some parts of this story before. But to start the story, I would like to invite any children or the young at heart to come up so that we can talk a little bit about Tomta, about those little magic creatures. And there's a way I'm hoping that children can help me tell this story through the service. Come right up here. Your shirt says that you are part unicorn and part dinosaur. That's pretty good. And we have a Christmas dragon. That's fantastic. So a couple of years ago, for solstice, I told a Tomta story. Do you know what a Tomta is? It's kind of a funny word, isn't it? So a Tomta is a little magical creature, and you might say that it's an elf, and you might say that it looks like a little mini Santa Claus. This is a little carving, and you all can come and see this version of a Tomta after the service or during the offering. But this is maybe what a Tomta looks like. Tomta live, well, we don't know for sure, but mostly they live in another part of the world. It's a little farther north where there's a little more snow. So the story I'm telling today, there's snow on the ground. I'm very aware that there's not snow on the ground. And in the story I told about a Tomta a few years ago, one of the things that happened is that on Christmas Eve, or maybe it was Solstice Eve, they were out in the barn at night, and all of the animals were talking, in person talk, as we say at our house, and singing songs. And the Tomta was dancing around with bells on. So I wanted to give you a bell each, because I'm hoping... Oh dear, they're all tangled up. Can you pick... The bell is interesting. Everyone needs a bell. Great. So one of the ways that you know a Tomta is around is if you hear that sound, but you don't see anybody ringing the bell. So during this story about Tomta that I'm going to tell, you'll hear me say several times that something happens, and the adults especially don't know what's going on, but they hear this sound. So whenever I say something about the bell ringing, will you be the tompta? Then we'll have a room full of tompta. That will be good. The other thing the tompta does is feed corn to the animals. Have you ever gotten to feed animals in a barn? Carrots or corn or apples or anything? This is some dried corn, and when the you can feel it, it's kind of sharp feeling. So when the tompta feeds this to the cows and the horse, you'll know what it is. And it's, it's yellow, kind of golden, and it makes me think about the sun, which is why it's nice to have it this time of year when it's so dark, have a little bit of extra sun to feed the animals. All right, and I'm going to put the, that's all right, you can have a little bit. Put our animal snack back in the bag. So I'll just tell you the start of this story, and then we're going to sing a little song. Maybe you can help me with the song, because it's the Tompta song. And you all might remember the Tompta song from a couple of years ago, when we get to that. So the Tompta really like this time of year, because there are a lot of stories being told, and Tompta love to sit in the corner, or in the windowsill, or just behind the board in the wall, and listen. And then shake their bells. And in this version of the story, the family has a little creche on their mantelpiece over their fireplace. Do any of you have that? It's a little manger with a little baby in it, and Mary and Joseph. You have one of those at your house? You have one at your house? Well, this family in this story has one of those with little baby Jesus and all the animals. And the Tompta loves it because they're just small. They're just little tiny figures. And the Tompta loved it so much that the Tompta decided to take it out to the barn, because that's where the Tompta really lives the most. The horses are out in the barn. But the little tiny figures, the Tompta took them all out into the barn. Well, then the little girl got in trouble, because the mom didn't think that the Tompta did it. The mom thought the girl had done it. So the Tompta felt bad about that. So then the Tompta snuck a Christmas cookie and put it under the girl's pillow to make it up to her for getting her in trouble for moving all the animals out. Well, then she got in trouble for having a Christmas cookie under her pillow. And the Tompta felt really bad about it and decided to just try to stop. And the girl didn't like getting in trouble. You've gotten in trouble at all this Christmas season. Sometimes things go a little haywire at Christmas time. But the girl was excited because she knew that she had not taken the cookie and that she had not moved all those little animals. She knew that the Tompta was at work. And she was very excited about that. So she would lie in her bed at night, and it was hard to sleep, because she knew that there was a little bit of magic jingling around all of the time. And the Tompta really liked that girl, because he knew that she was listening for him, that she was watching for magic everywhere, all the time. So will you sing the little Tompta song with me? And maybe you know it or remember it. Hey ho, nobody home, no drink, nor food, nor money have I none. Still I will be merry. Hey ho, nobody home, no drink, nor food, nor money have I none. Still I will be merry. Hey ho, nobody's home, no drink, no food, nor money have I none. Still I will be merry. The Tompta will sing that song a couple times too, and you can join in if you're feeling Tompta-ish today, or you can listen, because there's a lot of listening for Tompta. So our Tompta was moving things around at this girl's house, and the next thing that happened was that the girl's aunt came for a visit. The girl's three cousins. Do you have any family coming for the holidays? That can be also exciting and a lot. Well, this was exciting because to have three cousins arrive all at once. Oh, yeah, that's a little extra sparkle, isn't it? Thanks. Having three cousins arrive all at once is very exciting, but it was complicated because the girl's uncle had died, and so this was the first time that the family was coming to visit, and the uncle wasn't with them. They hadn't seen them since the uncle had died. So they were all excited to see them, and everyone was sad at the same time, which is, it's complicated. So they all came into the house, and this story happens a long time ago, and they had arrived in a carriage with horses. So the horses arrived, and the carriage arrived, and all the people arrived, and there were things to take off of the carriage, and they had to give the horses some water, and there was a whole bunch of commotion all at once. And so the children all went into the courtyard of the house where there was an apple tree growing, and they started to climb in the apple tree because, well, there was a lot happening, and go climb a tree. But then the girl's dad came out and said, "The tree is too small, you can't climb the tree." So they came back down from the tree. But then there was still a lot going on with the horses and the taking the luggage into the house, and the kids went up in the tree again. And one of the branches broke off and fell down on the ground. One of the children fell too, but it was a small tree, so nobody got hurt. But the dad got mad, and he yelled at them for climbing in the tree. And then the aunt who had just arrived yelled at him and said, "Nobody should be yelling at anyone because it's Christmas time." Sometimes it goes like that. Yeah. Well, so the children all went inside and tried to be in the kitchen and be quiet, except for the oldest child. He went out into the backyard. He was pretty sad, and he missed his dad. So he walked out across the field toward the trees. It was pretty deep snow, but he could see that it was better under the trees. So he went out under the trees and walked out into the forest for a while. And the tomta noticed. Nobody else noticed, but the tomta noticed. That's how it goes with tomta. And the tomta followed the boy out to the woods, and was out there thinking about how to help this boy who was out in the woods alone. And we'll sing a song, and while we sing that song, I'll let you take your bells back to your seats. Join me in singing Lone Wild Bird, number 15 in our hymnals. Do you think there's anyone at your seat who wants a bell? You can keep it. Tomta is out there in the woods, and the boy is walking deeper into the woods, and the tomta is not sure about that. So the tomta kind of flops down in that snow under the trees. And so the boy flops down in the snow under the trees. He's not sure why he wants to suddenly lie down in the snow, but he just does. And when he does, he hears a little bell sound, just like a little that in the, maybe it's the ice in the trees. He's not sure what that sound is, but he lies there and he makes a snow angel in the snow. The tomta makes a snow angel in the snow, and then the tomta climbs up into one of the trees and sings that tomta song because he wants to seeing out to one of the tamta at the next farm, because if you're trying to figure something out, it's good to have someone to work with. So the little tamta sings, "Hey ho, nobody home, no drink, no food, nor money have I none. Still I will be merry. No drink, no food, nor money have I none. Still I will be merry." It just keeps going, doesn't it? That little tamta song. Well, the tamta at the next farm over the hill hears that song coming on the wind and leaves his warm barn to come and help. So then there are two tamta sitting up there in the tree looking down at that boy in the snow. And the tamta don't talk much, or maybe we just can't hear them, but they're thinking together. And our tamta happens to have two pieces of corn in his hat, which he took from the barn because, you know, it's good to have them. He gives it to the other tamta, a little kindness, a little pass around the gifts. The other tamta nods. They think together for a little longer, and then the tamta from the other barn says, "Aha!" It snaps his fingers, which I can't do right now. You know any snappers? Says the tamta, and he laughs. And then he just kind of zips off to the farm. They kind of, I don't know how they move, those magical tamta. And he goes to the barn where the horses have been milling around and all of the arriving is happening. And he finds back in the corner that there's a little bag of oranges that's being saved for Christmas. And the tamta finds the cat. Cats and tamta are also in cahoots. The cat helps. So while the family is taking the horses back out to the street to be hooked up back up to the carriage, and they're getting the rest of the luggage in and telling the children to sit still in the kitchen, the neighbor's tamta and the cat put the oranges up in the tree, that apple tree, with the broken branch. And all of the grown-ups were so busy that nobody noticed that there were oranges being carried around on the back of a cat and then balanced very carefully on tree branches. But if you had been in the courtyard, you would have heard that little sound that lets you know that sound, that the tamta are at work. And you would have been surprised to see a cat with oranges. And you would have wondered what was happening. This moment in the story, there is sadness that has arrived in this house. There is sorrow for the whole family. And there is sweetness and joy, and there is a whole lot going on that nobody quite understands, both inside and in that courtyard. And this is a time of year when we have to make a whole lot of space for all of that, for the sweetness and the sorrow and the I don't know what's happening. And so we'll make a little extra space for that today, some pauses, and also a time to hear each other's stories. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like to speak out loud in this gathered company of magical beings and watchers of magical beings, come stand with me up front and we'll listen.
Hi, I'm Carol Zickel. Let's see, I want to say this succinctly. So this was a wonderful bit of magic, joy, and sorrow combined. My mother's father passed suddenly when she was 8 and the youngest of 9. It was a sorrow that carried through her family and into my life because of that grief. So I lived with this larger-than-life grandfather that he was, never having met him. He was Swedish. Tomtegubas, as we called them, thought of the Scandinavian countries. I really had from that tradition was the word of seeing the statues of Tomtegubas and making spritz cookies, which I have carried that tradition to my granddaughters every holiday. Through the years, parts of this grandfather have come back in most magical ways, unexpected, even what the name Almstrom meant, elm tree by the tree. I was giddy knowing. So I'm putting together, and actually Tomtegubas, the idea of them appeared when some of this started happening. So I'm continuing that today. And everything about this story resonates and speaks to me of the larger story of loss and sorrow and remembering the joy and being outside and nature being part of that and the family traditions. The darkness and the light. So I plan to carry this story to my grandchildren today. Even the putting of oranges in the stocking for a family of 9 to have an orange in the 1930s was quite a treat.
I want to pass on the living story, the living magic of all of these feelings and energies. Thank you.
We were going to bring something to hang on a tree. I grew up in a large Swedish family. That is, my father was the oldest of 9. And
I was lucky to have a cousin close to my age living in the same little town that I lived in Wisconsin and going to the same school.
And we were very, very close, very close, up until last Christmas time when she died. What she did, many wonderful things, but she was an artist, and she had 4 children, and her husband did not make a lot of money, and she was home with the children. She decided to make ornaments. You're going to do this one is better, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So she did. She poured hot plastic into molds that she made, and she made over 250 different ornaments, and she called them dangles, and she sold them in gift stores around the country where friends like me had taken them so they could be sold. And she put 4 children through college making these ornaments. I couldn't show you all 250, and I don't have all 250, but I thought I would bring this one this morning.
After joys and sorrows, we will have a moment to hang those ornaments on our broken apple branch. So I will invite you, if you brought an ornament with you today from anyone whose presence you are missing, here is our branch. It's, those of you who know trees, this is in fact a branch that fell out of one of our maples out front here. But we can tell the story that this is the branch that got broken out of that apple tree, that loss, which can maybe be turned into something else. So we'll take a minute here, and if you have an ornament, please bring it forward and hang it here. And if you don't have one, take a moment to remember that person whose sparkle you would like to have in your life. Bring forward your
ornaments if you have them. Our children and a couple of volunteers, and in fact we're hoping that one or two parents will join our children in going out to the parish hall, where they're going to make stars to add to our broken branch. So we're going to sing When I Breathe In, which is 10:09 in your hymnals, and we'll breathe our children out to have that little bit of time to create stars for this branch. And if a parent or two can join them in that stargazing, that would be wonderful. Corn and oranges, songs and listening, bells and travel. We have so many offerings for each other in this world. We have our offering of hope and persistence. We have our offering of creating beauty. And in this church, in this community, we make an offering to this place and the presence and work that this community offers the world around us. And during this time, I invite you to offer up some light. There are candles available in the usual places, and I'll add one more bowl for candle lighting in the middle here today. It's a time when we need extra light, extra hope, extra persistence, and there is extra remembering and honoring to do. The morning offering for all of the gifts this congregation gives will now be received. Before we sing this next carol, I want to tell you just a little bit more of this story. So you may be seated and I'll tell you a little bit more about what these tomta are up to. It might be useful to know that tomta, the name tomta, means the person from the mound, which is the burial mound, in fact. So the tomta are the ancestral spirits of the farms in Sweden and that northern European world. These are the ancestors who are still taking care of the farm, this farm still belongs to them. And that's why they're watching over the farm and the people on the farm and just taking care of this place that's theirs. So after the tomta and the cat are out there in the courtyard with the oranges in the tree, the tomta goes back to the woods and the two tomta are sitting again up there in a tall tree. And the boy hears a sound, and we don't have our helpers. So you'll just have to imagine that. There it is. And the boy hears that again. Is it just the ice in the trees? Is it something else? So he sits up, and he looks around, and he realizes that the sun is going down, and he can't see the house anymore. And he stands up and he thinks about how, which way, well, he'd better head back. We're back at the house. Everything is settled. The horses are sent off and all of the luggage is in and everyone's in the kitchen. And they're all feeling a little flustered and hurt because there was yelling on Christmas when there shouldn't be any. And the girl, our girl in the story, who's listening for Tomta, looks out into the courtyard and she sees those oranges in the tree, in that apple tree with the broken branch. And she looks for a minute and then she starts to giggle. And the sun is low in the sky, and you know that light this time of year that comes in and it hits those oranges and it's beautiful. And she knows, of course, that the Tomta has been at work. She doesn't know about the cat. Because the cat is asleep by the fire with just one eye open, watching to see what will happen. So the girl calls her mother over to see what is happening out there. And for some reason, that's the moment when they notice that the oldest boy is missing. He's not in the room. So they go upstairs to look for him, and he's not there. And they go out into the barn to look for him, and he's not there. And they look out the front door, and he's not there. And he's not out there with the oranges in the apple tree. So they go out a little farther, and they call for him. And they remember that there was that moment when everyone was upset. And now they're suspicious that he has gone off. So they're out at the edges of the yard there, calling his name. And his mother starts to cry because there's already someone missing and we don't need anything more to go wrong. And the boy is out in the woods thinking, I think it's this. And he's starting to get a little panicked too. So the Tomta is thinking, can I help? We need our bell ringers again. So that Tomta sits right up on the boy's shoulder, because sometimes that's what the Tomta do, because they're taking care of things. And so the boy starts to follow a sort of a tug. You know, sometimes you just get that feeling about a direction you should go. Like, maybe I should try this, or I should go this way. And he can't quite tell, because the light is low, which way he came in from, but he keeps kind of following that tug. And by now, everyone in the house is out calling his name, calling for him, hoping that they can see where his footsteps went in the snow. Well, and the dad goes out just a little further, and he can see, just catch in that low light, that there's some footsteps that went out further into the snow. And then he hears that sound, that just faint sound. And so he follows those footsteps and keeps calling the boy's name out into the woods. And after a little while, the boy out there in the woods hears his name called and shouts back, and they shout across the field at each other, except this time it's good shouting. And they see each other over the hill. And just as the boy comes over that hill, his uncle comes up on the other side and just grabs him in a big hug. And they both start to cry. And the dad says, I'm so glad you're here. I'm sorry I yelled at you about the apple branch. You look just like your dad. And they stand there for a moment, and then they head back to the house, talking a little bit, singing a little bit, just as they get there to the dooryard. And they see the oranges in the tree, and then they start giggling. And then they start laughing that a little bit too hard because everything is a little bit too much. And the boy's mother sees that he is safe and that his uncle has his arm around his shoulder. And she breathes again. And they all put their arms around each other. And the dad says, "I'm sorry." And he picks up an orange and he hands it to his sister and he says, "Merry Christmas." And this is where we sing, "Let Christmas Come." There's just a little more story. The cows in the stable see it, the softness and the surprise, the first star flickering in the sky over the man and the woman and the child. And then everyone is out in the barnyard and they are sharing oranges in the cold and in the dark. The father urges the animals into their stalls because it's time for milking. And he pours a scoop of that corn into their feed. Thanks his sister for helping. And as he returns the scoop to the bag, he hears just a little ringing of a bell. Funny, these sounds in winter. Join in singing again, hymn 155, "Circle Round for Freedom." Words of poetry because we need a little extra poetry this time of year. From Jan Richardson, from her book The Cure for Sorrow, "Blessing for the Longest Night." All throughout these months, as the shadows have lengthened, this blessing has been gathering itself, making ready, preparing for this night. It has practiced walking in the dark and traveling with its eyes closed, feeling its way by memory, by touch, by the pull of the moon, even as the moon wanes. So believe me when I tell you, this blessing will reach you, even if you have not light enough to read it. It will find you even though you cannot see it coming. You will know this moment of its arriving by your release of the breath you have held for so long. A loosening of the clenching around your heart, the clutch of your hands, a thinning of the darkness that has drawn itself around you. This blessing does not mean to take away the night, but it knows its hidden roads. It knows the resting spots along the path. It knows what it means to travel in the company of a friend. So when this blessing comes, take its hand. Get up. Set out on the road you cannot see. This is the night when you can trust that any direction you go, you will be walking toward the dawn. There is a lot of light here, and I bring the light of our chalice forward. This is the light of being able to recreate the world, of bringing stars to broken branches. Please join in our unison benediction. The words are printed in the order of service. Go in peace.
Speak the truth. Give thanks each day. Respect the earth and all creatures, for they are alive like you. Care for your body. It is a wondrous gift. Be gentle with yourself. Live simply. Be of service. Be guided by your faith and not your fear.